Hey everybody, what is up? It is your contagious host here, Dangerous ASMR, back at it again with another fantastic Drunken Dangerous. As you may be able to tell from the absolutely fantastic quality of my voice, I am sick. Thankfully, my voice has improved enough to where I could record this for you guys. Just because I don't think I'm quite up to the level of trying to sound sexy yet. Maybe like a sexy frog girl audio. exposed to disease by patient zero, that's a good one. But generally, it'd be kind of hard to be that sexy like this. Anyway, I'm going to try to minimize the amount of like coughing and hacking I do in this audio, so please forgive me. Like I told somebody else, this story is so bad that my less than delightful vocal condition won't really do that much to change the quality of the overall audio, especially since it's a Drunken Dangerous and those are never really up there with, you know, the cream of the crop, at least. Again, wait, are any of my audios up there? I don't think so. Maybe if I just gauge it myself against myself. Whatever. I'm getting way too into this right now. Fuck. Maybe I should have drank for this one. Instead, I'm just a little bit off like a kite, shall we say. And I thought that would be a perfect place for me to start my favorite story I think I've ever read in my entire life. The Eye of Argon. 3. Consciousness returned to Grignr in stigmatic pools as his mind gradually cleared of the cobwebs cluttering its inner recesses, yet the Stygian cloud of charcoal ebony remained, an incompatible shield of blackness enhanced by the bleak absence of sound. Grignr's muddled brain reeled from the shock of the blow he had received to the base of his skull. The events leading to his predicament were slow to filter back to him. He dickered with the notion that he was dead and had descended or sunk, however it may be, to the shadowed land beyond the aperture of the grave, but rejected his hypothesis when his memory sifted back within his grips. This was not the land of the dead. It was something infinitely more precarious than anything the grave could offer. This dude is really poetic about just getting the shit beat out of him. That's pretty deep, dude. You're really thinking a lot about getting kicked in the back of the fucking head. Where am I? Death promised an infinity of peace, not the finite misery of an inactive life of confined torture, forever concealed from the life-bearing shafts of the beloved rising sun. Oh my god, Grignr. Is this your diary, Grignr? Jesus Christ. It seriously sounds like me when I was in middle school. This little wannabe poet. Like, alas, I am too deep for this world. I was such a Grignr. But without the decapitation, you know. I'm just a kid. Instead, this is like, I'm imagining him as a dwarf. Am I like the only one that pictures Grignr as like this little, like, stout, but like really muscular, stout, really like hairy, big bearded, like dwarven soldier. Am I the only one that sees Grignr as that? You know, I don't know much about him, but that's what I picture him as. Let me know if you have a different mental image of Grignr than the one that I described, because he's like Conan the Barbarian. Yeah, but I picture him as like a lot shorter, like a real tiny, like a pocket Conan the Barbarian. Just this tiny little like meatloaf of a man, like a meatloaf missile on a mission. All the M's, meatloaf man, a missile on a mission. That's really stupid. Okay, let's keep going. The orb that had been before taken for granted, that's the sun this time. The orb is the sun, yet now cherished above all else, to be forever refused further glimpses of the snow-capped summits of the land of his birth, never again to witness the thrill of plundering unexplored lands beyond the crest of a bleeding horizon, and perhaps worst of all, the denial to ever again encompass the lustful excitement of caressing the naked curves of the body of a trim young wench, I'm sure is what he meant to say. You know what he sounds like? He sounds like this pubescent boy who's been grounded for, like, you know, like his parents caught him banging his girlfriend and they're like, you're grounded. And then he's writing this in his diary, like, never again shall I feel the curves of a naked young wench. Oh, woe, woe am I. I took advantage of the orb that is the sun. Oh, never again shall I unload my seed into the womb of a fertile maiden. Oh, woe, woe, woe. I'm not the only one thinking that. This was indeed one of the buried chasms of hell concealed within the inner depths of the palace's despised interior. A fearful ebony chamber devised to drive to the brinks of insanity the minds of the unfortunately condemned through the inept solitude. Through the inept solitude of a limbo of listless, dreary silence. 3.5. A tightly rung elliptical circle or torches cast their wavering shafts prancing morbidly over the smooth surface of a rectangular, ridged altar. Okay, it's smooth but ridged. All right, okay, cool, cool. Wow, my brain just went somewhere else. Let's keep going. Expertly chiseled forms of grotesque gargoyles graced the oblique rim protuberating the length of the grim orifice of death, staring forever ahead into nothingness in complete ignorance of the bloody rites enacted in their presence. That was a really long sentence to basically be like, the gargoyles didn't know shit. Like, literally halfway through that sentence, and it could just be because I'm not sober, I forgot what the hell that sentence was about. That means your sentence is too fucking long. That's how you know. If I get lost about what the sentence was in the beginning, halfway through the sentence, sober or not, your sentence is too fucking long. Okay. Brown flaking stains decorated the golden surface of the ridge surrounding the altar. Nope, not gonna say anything. Which banked to a small slit at the lower right-hand corner of the altar. The slit stood above a crudely pounded pail, which had several silver-meshed chalices hanging at its sides. Dangling at the rim of golden mallet, the handle of which was engraved with images of twisted faces and groved at its far end with slots designed for a snug hand grip. The head of the mallet was slightly larger than a clenched fist and smooth and shaped into a smooth oval mass. Encircling the marble altar was a congregation of leering shaman, eerie chants of a bygone age, originating unknown eons before the memory of man, were being uttered from the buried recesses of the acolyte's deep lings. Do they mean lungs? Maybe a ling is just something I don't know. They've got deep lings, and that is where the sound is originating from. It's fantasy, right? A ling could be a thing. As the author afterward, if people call you out, be like, a ling is what I meant, you stupid asshole. It's part of my fantasy world. I'm so sorry that you're so stuck in your earth-thinking ways that you can't step out of the box and you immediately think that ling was an accident and I meant lung. Fucking idiot. That's the best thing you can do as an author. So, you know, if he was alive, which he's not anymore, unfortunately, rest in peace, he could always just be like, it was on purpose, you idiot. I mean, not that that's what I would do. Everything I do is on purpose, even when it seems like a mistake. And I later admit it is a mistake. That's also on purpose. It's not gaslighting. It's called keeping you on your toes. I forgot how I even got on this train of thought. So let's continue. And forget what I said about those lings. Orange paint was smeared in generous globules over the tops of the priest's wrinkled, shaven scalps. That sounds like a fucking hot role play. Smearing paint globules over wrinkled priest scalps. While golden rings projected from the lobes of their pink ears. And that sounds like a euphemism for something weird. Ornate robes of luscious... There's a lot of typos. I'm just going to try to ignore them from now on. Of luscious purple satin enclosed their bulging torsos. So bulging with fat, or is like their dick so big they flip it up in their waistband and then it still like runs the length of their torso and the erection makes it looks like they... I don't know why I'm even saying this. This is stupid. Forgive me. I'm talking to future me who's sober. Forgive me for what I say. You really are this stupid deep down, though, so you really only have you to blame. Okay. Enclose their bulging torsos, bulging with human fat and not extra large dicks. Giant freak dicks. Oh my god, this is a bad idea. Attached around their waists with silvered silk lashes, latched with ebony buckles in the shape of morose, misshaped skulls. This is very specific. Dangling around their necks were oval-fashioned medallions held by thin gold chains, featuring in their centers blood-red rubies which resembled crimson fetish eyeballs. Cushioning their bare feet were plush red felt slippers with pointed golden spikes projecting from their tips. Situated in front of the altar and directly adjacent to the copper pail was a massive jade idol, a misshaped, hideous bust of the shaman's pagan deity. Yet, honestly, doesn't everything seem misshaped to this guy? I'm starting to think maybe he has a problem with his eyes and everything's normal shape to him in real life, but his eyes are like, this is some misshapen bullshit. So he's going around shaming people for all the misshapen things, when truly it was his eyes that were misshapen all along. There's a lesson there somewhere. I do not know what it is. No, I know what it is. You shouldn't be wasting your time listening to me right now. These are the ramblings of a madwoman. An intoxicated madwoman. The shimmering green idol was placed in a sitting posture on an ornately carved golden throne raised upon a round, ivory-plated dais. Its bulging arms and webbed hands resting on the padded arms of the seat. Its head was entwined in golden snake-like coils hanging over its oblong ears, which tapered off to thin, hollow points. Its nose was a bulging triangular mass, sunken in at its sides with toe-gaping nostrils. Dramatic beneath the nostrils was a twisted, shaggy-lipped mouth, giving the impression of a slobbering, sadistic grimace. That is exactly how I look without all my Snapchat filters, motherfucker. At the foot of the heathen deity, a slender, pale-faced female, naked but for a golden jeweled harness enshrouding her huge, outcropping breasts, supporting long silver laces which extended to her thigh, stood before the pearl-white field with noticeable shivers traveling up and down the length of her exquisitely molded body. That's how you know a dude wrote this. Like, we don't hear word fucking one about any of the guys in here, like, sexually. It's not like, you know, his bulging pecs rippled down to his abs where his extremely large cock was housed in his loincloth that Grigner wears. You don't hear them, but all I know about her is she's got big old titties and she's skinny as hail. But meanwhile, no word on Grigner's package, so very disappointed. This is extremely annoying. You know, keep the bisexuals in mind. Thank you so much, of all kind. Fucking rude. Okay. Her delicate lips trembled beneath the soft, narrow hands. Oh, she held her hands over her mouth as she attempted to conceal herself from the piercing stare of the ambivalent idol. Okay. Glaring directly down toward her was the stony, cycloptic face of the bloated deity. Damn, everyone's bloated. How the fuck do we even get here? He was knocked out. Now where the fuck is he? Some weird place with a bunch of, like, misshapen things? I'm really confused. I don't know if it's just because I'm high. Maybe it makes sense to you guys. I don't fucking understand it. Oh, yes, there's a bulging deity. Gaping from its single oblong socket was scintillating. Many faceted scarlet emerald, brilliant gems seeming to possess a life all its own. A priceless gleaming stone capable of domineering the wealth of conquering empires. The Eye of Argon. Oh, so that's where the title comes. Okay, so there's some big-ass emerald inside the deity. And, okay, so that's the Eye of Argon, a gigantic fucking emerald. Part 4. All knowledge... That was not good. I got this, you guys. I can do it. She said optimistically. All knowledge of measuring time had escaped Grignar. When a person is deprived of the sun, moon, and stars, he loses all conception of time as he had previously understood it. It seemed as if years had passed if time were being measured by terms of misery and mental anguish. Oh no, he's still in his emo phase, guys. Yet he estimated that his stay had only been a few days in length. That is absolutely teenage emo time. You know, like, life is a fucking unending torment of hell. Grignar's right there. He had slept 3 times and had been fed 5 times since his awakening in the crypt. His mommy and daddy are feeding him. Grignar's a growing boy. He needs to eat. However, when the actions of the body are restricted, its needs are also affected. The need for nourishment and slumber are directly proportional to the functions the body has performed, meaning that when free and active, Grignar may become hungry every 6 hours and witness the desire for sleep every 15 hours, where in his present condition, he may encounter the need for food every 10 hours and want for rest every 20 hours. Thank you. How often does Grignar shit? Can we really go into detail on these routines? Does he shit more or less if he's more or less restricted? I just really need to know more about his habits. How many times does he pee? How about his masturbation habits? Have they changed? All right, I'm done talking about this. All methods he had before depended upon were extinct in the dismal pit. Hence, he may have been imprisoned for 10 minutes or 10 years. He did not know. I think you've gone crazy at that point, pal. Resulting in a disheartened emotion deep within his being. The food, if you can honor the moldering lumps of fetid mush to that extent, was borne to him by 2 guards who opened a portal at the top of his enclosure and shoved it to him in wooden bowls, retrieving the food and water bowels from his previous meal at the same time, that is surgical in nature, after which they threw back the bolts on the iron latch and returned to their other duties. Since deprived of all other means of nourishment, Grignar was impelled to eat the tainted slop in order to ward off the pangs of starvation, though as he stuffed it into his mouth with his filthy fingers and struggled to force it down his throat, he imagined it was that which had been spurned by the hounds stationed at various segments of the palace. Whatever the fuck that means. There was little in the barren vault that could occupy his body or mind. He had paced out the length and width of the enclosure time and time again and tested every granite slab which consisted the walls of the prison in hopes of finding a hidden passage to freedom, all of which was to no avail other than to keep him busy and distract his mind from the wandering to thoughts of what he believed was his future. He had memorized the number of strides from the one end of the to the other of the cell and knew the exact number of slabs which make up the bleak dungeon. Numerous schemes were introduced and alternately discarded in turn as they succored to unravel to him no means of escape which stood the slightest chance of success. Anguish continued to mount as his means of occupation were rapidly exhausted. Suddenly, without no tithe, he was routed from his contemplations as he detected a faint scratching sound at the end of the crypt opposite him. The sound seemed to be caused by something trying to scrape away at the granite blocks the floor of the enclosure consisted of, the sandy scratching of something like an animal's claws. Grignar gradually groped... I love it. Grignar gradually groped his way to the other end of the vault, carefully feeling his way along with his hands ahead of him. when a few inches from the wall, a loud, penetrating squeal and the scampering of small padded feet reverberated from the walls of the roughly hewn chamber. Grignr threw his hands up to shield his face and flung himself backward upon his buttocks. A fuzzy form bounded to his hairy chest, burying its talons in the flesh while gnashing toward his throat with its grinding white teeth, its sour, fetid breath scorching the squirming barbarian's dilating nostrils. Oh, man, his nose is excited. Grignr grappled with the lashing flexor muscles of the repugnant body of a gargantuan brown-hided rat, striving to hold its razor teeth from his juicy jugular. That sounds good. Grignr, stop making your fucking jugular sound so good. I want to take a bite now. As its beady gray organs of sight. There we go, guys. A new term for eyeballs has been acquired, organs of sight. It's beady gray, organs of sight. That is like an alien trying to be human. You're like, oh, I love you so much. What do you love about me? And he's just like, you have beautiful organs of sight. She's like, oh my god, thank you, Timothy. You know me so well. Oh god, that's so fucking weird. It's beady gray organs of sight glazed into the flaring emeralds of its prey. You have the most beautiful organs of sight, baby. They're just like flaring emeralds. Oh my god. So romantic. Taking hold of the rodent around its lean, growling stomach with both hands, Grignr pried it from his crimson rent breast, removing small patches of flayed flesh from his chest in the motion, fucking gross, between the squalid black claws of the starving beast. Holding the rodent at arm's length, he cupped his right hand over its frothing face, contracting his fingers into a vice-like fist over the quivering head, retaining his grips. Quivering head. Yeah, baby. Okay, I'm done there. Retaining his grips on the rat, Grignr flexed his outstretched arms while slowly twisting his right hand clockwise and his left hand counterclockwise motion. He's Indian burning it to death. The rodent let out a tortured squall, drawing scarlet as it violently dug his foam-flecked fangs into the barbarian's sweating palm, causing his face to contort to an ugly grimace as he cursed beneath his breath. With a loud crack, the rodent's head parted from its squirming torso. Of course, this is what Grignr does. He'd be really good working at one of those factories where they cut chickens' heads off. He doesn't even just break the neck. He just, like, pulls it off with his fucking hand like it's normal. Shit, Grignr. Grignr. Are you going to eat that rat, Grignr? Because if not, it's... I don't know. I mean, which is juicier? The rat or Grignr's jugular? I can't decide. This is gross. I'm done. I'm talking about this. Okay. Head came off, sending a sprinkling shower of crimson gore and trailing a slimy string of disjointed vertebra. Snapped trachea, esophagus, and jugular, disjointed hyoid bone, morose purpled stretched hide, and blood-seared muscles, all for $29.99. Call now. Oh, God. Flinging the broken body to the floor, Grignr shook his blood-streaked hands and wiped them against his thigh until dry, then wiped the blood that had showered his face and from his eyes. Again sitting himself upon the jagged floor, he prepared to once more revamp his glum meditations. That's right, Grignr, you revamp yourself. You can do it. You're worth it, Grignr. He told himself that as long as he still breathed the gust of life through his lungs, hope was not lost. He told himself this, but found it hard to comprehend in his gloomy surroundings. Yet he was still alive, his bulging sinews at their peak of marvel, his struggling mind floating in a mural of impressed excellence of thought. Okay, jerk yourself off harder, Grignr. plot after plot sifted through his mind in energetic contemplations. Then it hit him. Minutes may have passed in silent thought, or days, he could not tell, but he stumbled at last upon the plot, upon a plan that he had considered as holding a slight margin of possibility. He might die in the attempt, but he knew he would not submit without a final bloody struggle. It was not a foolproof plan, yet it built up a store of renewed vortexed energy in his overwrought soul. There's no space, so it's overwrought soul. Though he might perish in the execution of the escape, he would still be escaping the life of infinite torture in store for him. Either way, he would still cheat the gloating prince of the succored revenge his sadistic mind craved so dearly. Oh, ho, ho. I miss Prince Chungus. Huh. The guards would soon come to bear him off to the prince's buried mines of dread, giving him the sought-after opportunity to execute his newly formulated plan. Groping his way along the rough floor, Grignr finally found his tool in a pool of congealed gore. That sounds really gross. I mean, I'm sure he means his work tool and not the fleshy kind of work tool. The carcass of the decapitated rodent, the tool that had... the very filth he had been sentenced to spawned. When the time came for action, he would have to be prepared, so he set himself to rending the sticky hulk in grim silence, searching by the touch of his fingertips for the lever to his freedom. Oh boy, okay. Alright, I'm gonna read one more, and then I'm gonna call it, to save my voice from dying. 5.
Up to the altar, and be done with it, wench,
ordered a fidgeting shaman as he gave the female a grim stare, accompanied by the wrinkling of his lips to a mirthful grin of delight. How the fuck do you wrinkle a lip and grin? It pulls your lips away. They should be de-wrinkling. How are your lips wrinkling into a grin? Is it like, okay, listen with me now. Imagine pursing your lips, like you're making a kiss, and then upturning your lips into this, like, a little tiny bit, so you look like you're kind of, like, pursing your lips while you're smiling. That would technically be, I mean, I don't know if I call it a grin, but for pursed lips, that's probably the biggest you can grin. Maybe you could, like, open your lips a little bit like this, you know, you're all doing. That could possibly work. Otherwise, I don't say wrinkling your lips into a grin, but perhaps I'm wrong. Tell me if I'm wrong in the comments below. Otherwise, sing my fucking praises. God damn it. I apologize, that was not me speaking. That was my ego. Okay. Back to the shaman and his wrinkly lips. The girl burst into a slow, steady whimper. I can't even whimper. Oh my god, I sound like I'm dying. Stooping shakily to her knees and cringing woefully from, that was what I was doing, from the priest with both arms wound snake-like. She's not like other girls. She's got snake arms. Around the bulging jade shin. The bulging jade shin. Rising before her scantily attired figure. Of course she's scantily attired because she's a girl. And then again, Grignr does have a loincloth, but I'm extremely disappointed I have not heard more about this. As discussed in the previous chapter, I wasn't into Grignr, but I want what I can't have. Grignr. Her face was redly inflamed from the salty flow of tears spouting from her glassy, dilated eyeballs. Are you sure her eye hasn't just sprung a leak? With short, heavy footfalls, the priest approached the female, his piercing stare never wavering from her quivering young countenance. Oh no, I'm so scared and nubile. I can't even sound like a girl. That sounded like a disturbed old man trying to be a girl. Yeah, that's right, baby. I'm the girl that you contacted. This is what girls sound like. Oh, Jesus Christ. Okay. Let's see. Halting before the terrified girl, he projected his arm outward and motioned her to arise with an upward movement of his hand. The girl's whimpering increased slightly, and she sunk closer to the floor rather than arising. The flickering torches outlined her trim build with a weird ornate glow as it cast a ghostly shadow dancing in horrid waves of splendor over smoothly worn whiteness of the marble-hewn altar. Jesus, dude. The shaman's lips curled back further. Okay, did they wrinkle and curl or just curl? Exposing a set of blackened, decaying molars, which transformed his slovenly grin into a wide, greasy arc of sadistic mirth. And alternately interposed into the female a strong sensation of stomach-curdling nausea.
"Have it as you will, female,"
gloated the enhanced priest. He's enhanced? Chemically enhanced? Physically enhanced? Is he robotically enhanced? That would be interesting. He's an android priest with fucked up teeth. He should really get those fixed. I mean, I'm sure the robot parts of him could probably fix him. I'm just saying. So he's gloated the enhanced priest as he bent over at the waist, projecting his ape-like arms forward. There you go. He's got go-go gadget arms. And or they literally gave him, like, the arms of an ape-related primate. Not an actual ape, so that's why they're ape-like. So maybe it's, like, a similar species to an ape. So they're like, these primate arms are ape-like. They're not quite ape. They're great value ape. He's got great value ape knockoff arms. Oh, God, what are those arms? Those Gucci? Are they Prada? No, bitch. These are great value ape arms. The fuck am I doing? This is the dumbest shit I've ever said this week. If the week starts today. Oh, my God. Okay. He projected his ape-like arms forward and clasped the female's slender arms with his hairy round fists. I'm thinking I'm right. They're hairy. With an inward surge of his biceps, he harshly jerked the trembling girl to her feet and smothered her salty wet cheeks with the moldy touch of his decrepit, dull red lips. The vile stench of the shaman's hot, fetid breath came over the nauseated female with a deep, soul-searing sickness, causing her to wrench her head backwards and regurgitate a slimy orange-white stream of swelling gore over the richly woven purple robe of the enthused acolyte. You know, first of all, she's puking orange and white. All I can think is she's been eating creamsicles, like nothing but creamsicles. And that wouldn't taste too bad to throw up. Let's be honest, as gross as that is. Second, how fucking gross is your breath? That's breathing like too close to someone's face. They double over and puke their creamsicles everywhere. Jesus Christ. The priest's lips trembled with a malicious rage as he removed his callous paws from... Okay, so now they're also paws. Perhaps it was an ape bear, like, hybrid, right? So they're ape-like because they resemble an ape in some ways, but they're paws. So they're not an ape's arms, they're paws. Maybe it has ape arms and bear paws. So ape-like arms because they're not completely ape arms because they're attached to a bear paw. That is correct. I am correct. Removed his callous paws from the girl's arms and placed them tightly around her undulating neck, shaking her violently to and fro. If her neck is undulating, probably just wait till she dies. There's something wrong. Her undulating neck. The girl gasped a tortured groan from her clamped lungs. Her sea blue eyes bulging forth from damp sockets. Cocking her right foot backwards, she leashed it desperately outwards with the strength of a demon possessed, lodging her sandaled foot squarely between the shaman's testicles. The startled priest released his crushing grip, crimping his body over at the waist. overlooking his recessed belly, wide open in a deep chasm. His face flushed to a rose-red shade of crimson, eyelids fluttering wide with eyeballs protruding blindly outwards from their sockets to their utmost perimeters, like that lady that you can see on freaking Guinness Book World Records where her eyes look like they're about to come out of her head. That's what I'm imagining right now. While his lips quivered wildly about, allowing an agonized wallow to gust forth as his breath billowed from burning lungs. His hands reached out, clutching his urinary gland. As his knees wobbled rapidly about for a few seconds, then buckled, causing the ruptured stomach to collapse in an egg-addled mass. Hold on. I have to start this from the beginning. And I'm going to try to say it with a straight face so we can all appreciate the quality of this sentence. His hands reached out, clutching his urinary gland as his knees wobbled rapidly about for a few seconds, then buckled, causing the ruptured shaman to collapse in an egg-huddled mass to the granite pavement, rolling helplessly about in his agony. An egg-huddled mess? Was he Humpty Dumpty? The pathetic screeches of the shaman groveling in dejected misery upon the hand-hewn granite-laid pavement. Why does it sound like he's advertising his pavement services? Sure, that shaman was in misery, but did you see that hand-hewn granite-laid pavement? By God, that's some quality work. Worn smooth by countless hours of arduous sweat and toil. That's why it's worth all that money. A welter of ichor oozing through his clenched hands attracted the perturbed attention of his comrades from their fetid ululations. Ululations, I guess, but it's just ululations. The actions of this rebellious wench bespoke the credence of an unheard of sacrilege. Never before in a lost maze of untold eons had a chosen one dared to demonstrate such blasphemy in the face of the cult's idolic deity. Deity. The girl cowered in unreasoning terror, helpless in the face of the emblazoned acolyte's rage, her orchid-tussled face smothered betwixt her bulging bosom as she shut her curled lash tightly, hoping to open them and find herself awakening from a morbid nightmare. Yet the hand of... That is the longest fucking sentence! Okay, this is one sentence. Let's say if I can do it in one fucking breath. I'm going to take a deep breath and let's go. The girl cowered in unreasoning terror, helpless in the face of the emblazoned acolyte's rage, her orchid-tussled face smothered betwixt her bulging bosom as she shut her curled lash tightly, hoping to open them and find herself awakening from a morbid nightmare. Yet, the hand of destiny decreed her no such mercy. The antagonized pack of leering shaman converging tensely upon her prostrate form were entangled all too lividly in the grim web of reality. That is such a weird metaphor. The hand of destiny decreed her no such mercy. The antagonized pack of leering shaman, converging tensely upon her prostrate form, were entangled all too lividly in the grim web of... So they're real. They're not imaginary. Is that really what you said? Okay. I'm just not good enough author to understand. Shuddering from the clammy touch of the shaman as they grappled with her supple form. Damn, she still sounds hot, even when a bunch of shaman are attacking her. Hands wrenching at her slender arms and legs in all directions, her bare body being molested in the midst of a labyrinth of orange smudges, purpled satin, and mangled skulls, shattered in an eerie crimson glow. Her confused head reeled, then clouded in a mist of enshrouding ebony as she lapsed beneath the protective sheet of unconsciousness to a land peach and resign. What? To a land peach and resign? That doesn't make sense. Okay, well, I guess we're gonna leave it there. I don't know what the fuck just happened. So Grignard's doing whatever, and then all of a sudden a shaman was there and he like molested a lady and she puked orange creamsicle everywhere, and then like she continued to be molested until she passed out or something. I don't know what the fuck that has to do with anything. Hopefully we'll find out in the next chapter of this really fucking weird ass story. I honestly, I don't think I'll be satisfied until the really fat French prince returns. I just won't be. I need to hear to do his voice again. If I have to make that fucking female character, we'll probably meet Grigner and they'll fall in love or some shit. If I have to make her sound like that fucking fat French prince, I will. I'll get my fat French prince somehow. If you guys want me to make the female lead, who undoubtedly will arrive at some point, if I'm wrong, I apologize, but if there is a female lead in the future and you want her to sound like the French Prince Chungus, let me know in the comments below. That said, if that actual Prince Chungus comes back in the story, it might be a little confusing or amusing. I don't know. Either way, probably both, like a lot of my Duncan Dangerous, confusing and amusing. Anyway, thank you guys so much if you managed to make it all this way through with my, let's just call it sexy, raspy voice. Hopefully I will be back next week with something achieving in a semblance of desirable quality sounding voice. God damn, I can't even come up with a good sentence. I'm, you know, sounding like the author of The Eye of Argon. All these adjectives with nothing to say. And at the end of like 50 adjectives, you go, wait a second. You just said like, hi, I'm recording this, but it's like, you know, the intoxicated female, blah, blah, blah. Like, that's the shit I'm doing. I'm doing it right now. I'm supposed to end this, and I'm still just rambling. Okay. Oh, I can do it. I can do it. I believe in me. Okay, so I'm going to end this now. I will talk to you guys next week, hopefully in a less horrible sounding voice. Knock on wood. And hopefully we can find out more about Grigner and this unnamed but very supple creamsicle-eating female. All right, I love you guys so much, and I'll talk to you next week. Mwah! Bye.